This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs, government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, hello, everyone. I am Chuck Gregory, and this is the New American Dream Radio Show. We are streaming live on Revolution Radio. That's revolution.radio. And remember, it's a listener-supported network, so they deserve all the support that you can give them. We have a new American dream, not new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were, a country where people help each other, neighbors help each other, where people cooperate to make something that's better than any one of them could have created by themselves. Where people work together and love one another. That's our new American dream. All right, our first guest of the evening is Anthony Raisin. He joins us from Chicago. Anthony is a prison activist, zine writer, very interesting guy, and we're very fortunate to have Anthony on our show in this third week of each month.
Hello.
Well, hello, Anthony. Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show.
Well, thanks. I had a really... difficult letter yesterday and today I got, and I'm going to read them to you. Now, this guy I've been corresponding with for 15 years. He's a prisoner who's wheelchair-bound in a prison in Lancaster, California, a horrible prison. So here's his letter, dated 7/10, which is, what, 10 days ago. Hey, big guy, you have become my superhero for the 500th time. You know, he's very enthusiastic. Actually, I've adopted him as my nephew. So, not unofficially, not through the channels, but, you know, he's a member of the family, really. Anyway, you have no idea what you did to my post-central gyrus when your packet of stationery slipped under my cell door. In English, my primary sensory cortex, an outburst of joy flooded visual cortex when I seen the magnificent waterfall postage stamps. Those were pretty cool. Very majestic and spectacular. They seem to induce visualization of cascading water all around me. Cool, refreshing, clean, monument water. I counted 48 stamps, 50 sheets of paper, and 36 envelopes, question mark. Is this correct, Uncle Anthony? I simply ask because I don't trust these pieces of blank police officers. You may have sent me more stuff. How would I know? So this is only why I asked, big guy. I'm so happy you used good sound judgment and didn't order the union supplies package. Actually, I did order it. I don't know if he got it, though. But instead, use your wits and experience as a veteran and simply send me the packet of stationery items. This is a motif of your cognitive excellence. He's always trying to butter me up.
Yeah.
Uncle Anthony, I bet you was on full display at the conference. I know this was one of your most pivotal moments. Your relentless activism and your triumph over inhumanity and degradation has been a huge inspiration to me over the last 15 years, Anthony. Not all Americans are innocent until proven guilty. Usually I'm guilty until proven innocent. Not all Americans receive equal justice under the law, skin color, background, and the influence of powerful people and accusers are some dominant factors, Anthony. Prisons should be obsolete by now. Hey, big guy, I got some bad news. Not that you could use some more. I know all of the trauma you've unfortunately experienced already over the last 10 years. But I fractured my spine in between my L4 and L5 lower back. Well, I got shot by a wild shot from the officer's gun tower during a mini riot on the prison yard. I personally wasn't involved in the melee. Of course, he was in a wheelchair. The gun tower just started spraying bullets at anyone indiscriminately because an officer was being stabbed. I was fortunate, Anthony. Three other men lost their lives on 6/28/23, all just like me, innocent bystanders. Wrong place, wrong time. I just got out of Tri-City Outside Hospital in Oceanside. I can't walk, but I do have movement in my toes and feet, which is a good sign. Dr. Muhammad said, currently I'm in a lot of discomfort, and for the pain, all I've been given is 800 milligram ibuprofens, which don't work worth a dang to alleviate the intense pain. Not one officer has come up to me and even given an apology for being shot by a rogue cop. Staffing says it's my fault because I should have not come to prison. So basically, any bad stuff that happens to me while incarcerated, I deserve it because I should not have committed crime and came to prison. So using this logic, Anthony, the cops choose to come to the prison, so they should be shot, beaten, and raped just like I have been, correct? This above is just an example of my pain, Anthony. I don't wish harm to come to any person per se. I'm just venting my anger and frustration at how life for a prisoner inside prison walls have no value or worth to a cop. The cops can kill you, have and suffer zero accountability for taking an innocent life. The medical doctor told me that I can bring a legitimate lawsuit and win if I hire a paid attorney to represent me in court. But I'm penniless with no hope and not even going to make an effort to reach out to a law with no money for quality representation. All of this unnecessary BS has been impacting my mood, Anthony. How does Dawn near killing me make the world safer place? How does an officer accept that no accountability for his erroneous, cruel actions rehabilitate me? I'm not a mass shooter, big guy, but I kind of get a glimpse into their mind and what makes them want to kill people at their workplace or establishment. Please don't be upset for what I wrote today. I'm just super upset and angry at the cops. I think the mass shooter who kill innocent women and children, Anthony, those individuals are seriously mentally ill. But I want to tell you this, big guy. Society creates these mass shooters. The police officer creates mass shooters as well. Take, for instance, you, Anthony, if a police officer shot your brother in cold blood, like what was done to me, would you have feelings of wanting revenge or to get even? Would you, being the calm, cool cucumber, leave that guy, go out into the community with your gun and retaliate against this person who took your loved one's life? Uncle Anthony, you could not begin to imagine what I would do to anyone if they was to bring harm to you, my friend. You hold a very special place in my heart, Anthony. So sure, without thinking, I would kill for you, Anthony. Even though it's wrong to take another person's life for any reason, I'd still do it for you, big guy. It's only because of your intangible self. Less actions that I'm still alive and healthy somewhat to this day. I owe you a huge, huge debt, Anthony, for saving my life over 500 times, give or take. Tears are running down my face now, and I can't allow people to see me crying in prison. It shows weakness. Here are some activities for your grandbabies. I'm in the prison hospital right now. Love you, buddy. That is very...
Wow. That was just incredible.
You didn't even hear it. No, I didn't even hear of this. I don't even know if they got it out yet. I'm going to contact some activists in California and try to get him a lawyer and try to get some compensation for this brutal assault. Yeah, like you said, he almost got killed. Three guys got killed. You didn't hear anything on the news about this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I bet they don't even know about it. It's been clammed up. But I'm going to blow the lid off this thing in the morning.
All right. Yeah.
Okay, here's the next letter. Now he goes into some more specifics of why he thinks people get to the point where they go on these mass shootings, which is pretty shocking. Okay, he says, to the head coach, I've been coaching high school kids to play tennis lately. He says, hey, big guy, how's the coaching going? Are you guys winning games and championships? I sure you're teaching them life lessons, Uncle Anthony, and getting experience through being taught by someone who is passionate about growth. Hopefully your team is going undefeated, big guy. You know, Anthony, sports would be a good way for you and Lincoln. Get the boy into some sports, big guy. Spends quality time. It's hard for me, Anthony, to be absent in the boy's life. Transitioning from grandpa to coach is so totally awesome, dude. It's not every day a kid gets to hang out with his hero. Sports will teach Lincoln to be mature and working as a team element. You were young once, Anthony, no offense. You know about making bad choices. So we got to teach the boys a different path. Anthony, I can't imagine the task of having two young children to raise. There's got to be a lot of responsibilities, I'm sure. And yes, it's a challenge. You must have a lot of patience and tolerance. Well, I'm sure you do, big guy, having to put up with me in the last for the last 15 years, giggles. All three of you, I'm sure, have different personalities. Winnie has different beliefs. Lincoln has stubbornness. And not wanting to listen about this time last year, I remember him lashing out in anger, behavioral issues. But listen, Anthony, he is still young, your flesh and blood, and you never give up on trying to incorporate your style into them. Soon, with a little effort, you'll eventually see a turnaround in Lincoln. Also, you'll learn a lot about yourself, Anthony, as a coach. Teach them if they apply themselves, they can accomplish anything. Just like you gave me yourself, Anthony, when you didn't have to. Pausing. Because the tears are flowing again, there are certain subjects I can't talk about without the waterworks coming on. I guess the tears are from me not having these opportunities as Lincoln and Winnie. When I was their age, I was being physically and sexually abused by my foster parents, starved, beaten, tied up in a dark room, et cetera, et cetera. Too graphic to go into detail. I don't want to relive the pain. I don't want to get off my topic, but I need Lincoln to become a professional athlete. It's more than just about sports. It's about me having a second chance through Lincoln. I want Lincoln to learn accountability and commitment, Anthony. I've made a lot of poor choices in my life, but I can better myself through us being a team and being something structural. You are our sports system, Anthony. Having you on the team is part of me being rehabilitated. Me, you, Lincoln, Winnie, we are team. All in. I'm all in for the long haul. You are in. We are in. So is Winnie and Lincoln can be winners. And not chicken dinners. Once full grown like me, I apologize if you become upset with my last two letters. The one of the letters was all ripped up. It came in the mail in like plastic, but apparently the guard tore it all to pieces. I couldn't even read it. It was just very upset about my poor treatment while incarcerated and was just venting. I harbor a lot of bitterness against police officers, but prison does have the ability to create a mass shooter in a lot of people, including myself. I don't want to condone them shooting up school of innocent children, churches and department stores, et cetera, nightclubs, et cetera, et cetera. I would like to redirect all the mass shooters to start killing police officers. Well, shoot up the courthouse, shoot up the mother Internal Revenue Service, shoot Donald Trump and the White House. I have a huge, huge personal vendetta against the Department of the Treasury. I just want to firebomb the whole building, just like Timothy McVeigh in Ohio. These are his feelings, not his actual, you know, he's a wheelchair victim shot in the back, you know. But this is how your mind can get warped, you know. This is how you can get so bitter that you will be motivated to do these insane things. Anthony, listen, I will enlighten you as to where my frustration and anger arises from. Your full attention, please, Anthony. April of 2023, I filed a 1040 form to receive a check called Recovery Rebate Credit Check. Okay, for the tax period of 2020. I completed the form and sent it to the Department of Treasury, IRS. On May 3rd, I received a reply in the form of a notice saying that changes were made to my form 1040, and as a result, I'm due a refund in the amount of $3,939. Which is scheduled to be mailed to me on May 12th, 2023. Wow, this is life-changing money for a guy like me. I wanted to keep the $939 and surprise Lincoln and Winnie with the remaining $3,000 to put towards their continued education, lunches, clothes, school, etc., stationery, supplies, etc., backpacks. I was going to have the accounting office deduct the money out of my trust account here at the prison and send the $3,000 check to your address, Uncle Anthony. For the kids, it will be a facility state check. You can cash anywhere, okay? Okay, problem number one. It's been over a month since they said that I'm entitled to receive the money. I've written numerous times to inquire as to when I will receive my due refund. It's past due. These people won't even send me a courtesy reply letting me know if my check has been mailed out to me or not. I received a reply in the mail from a person named Deidre Torres from the Atlanta, Georgia IRS saying that if I have not received my check already, I should send a 3911 form back to her to request a payment trace. So on the 26th, I went to the prison law library and acquired a 3911 form, filled it out, and promptly mailed it back to her on the evening of the 26th. And I've received no updates or when I'm going to receive my due refund. So I thought about what Uncle Anthony would do in this situation. So I wrote a very pleasant letter telling them that there must be some kind of mistake. Perhaps my check was lost in transit through the mail or other such accident. I have been waiting in anticipation for the last month. It's been sort of confusing not getting my due fund in a timely, professional manner. I don't know if I can continue being patient. And at that moment, I exploded with a barrage of verbal violence, telling them to send my money right now or, boy, what a relief to unload all of that frustration and anger at these incompetent low pieces of blank for not already sending my check. So I thought, okay, I'll bug the heck out of them, and that will light a fire under there to process and send it. So back to the law library, and I acquired free of charge the 10 399 forms, and I sent them to 10 Department of Treasury located in Indiana, Hawaii, Kansas, Nevada, Massachusetts, Vermont, Utah, Virginia, North Dakota, Maine, all requesting a payment trace on my recovery rebate credit check for $3,939 to see if it's been lost, stolen by the IRS, destroyed, or just never sent out to my current address. Since nobody in these states personally know one another, I'm bound to finally get some honest answers as to what happened to my check that was supposed to be mailed to me out on May 12th. So I think someone was to enter all IRS buildings and mow down everybody with an AK-47, then the new workers that will be hired won't want to play games with my money. They will administer fast, prompt service to their customers. See, Anthony, currently there's no threat to their lives because the mass shooters are together at school, targeting schools and churches. Now, redirecting this gunfire at the IRS will give them an incentive to send courtesy replies. I feel helpless and hopeless because I'm stuck in a cage called prison and had no way to personally wring their necks. So currently I'm working on a really threatening letter, a drawing with a circus clown, and the circus clown is holding a knife and the blade or his IRS coming out. Yeah, red drops of blood that I still the color in. I mean, what can they do, Uncle Lenny? Put me in prison? Ha ha. Last giggle, funny. Why do people think I'm some kind of joke that they can just play games with me because I'm in prison? Anthony, you can't begin to imagine how many people out in the community over the years have treated me with deliberate indifference simply because I'm incarcerated. How many people act all self-righteous like their thing doesn't stink? How many people have put me down and called me bad names? How many people have bullied me and beat me without any prior provocation, et cetera, et cetera? All of this should give us a glimpse into the root cause of what creates a mass shooter. Anthony, we can talk about shutting down prison and the government all day long, and no problem will get solved. It's not until you use violence that problems get solved nowadays, it seems like. Sorry, big guy. When I get upset, I start making a lot of writing errors that look like this. I start misspelling words. Today I was thinking, is life really worth living? Should I just kill myself instead? I currently have a fractured spine, and I'm in bad shape. I refuse my evening pain pills because they make me feel really, really high and loaded. They're called Oxycontins. Did I spell that correct? I am not used to the feeling of being high on drugs. But when the nurse administers me the medications, I have no back pain 30 to 40 minutes later, which is a relief. So then I can sit at the edge of my bed and write these letters to you. Anthony, believe me, I know you don't like computers, or I should say using them to contact businesses. I know you dislike government, but I just wanted to have an opportunity to thrive financially. So at your earliest convenience, can you contact the IRS by computer or telephone? The IRS at 800, This is their payment hotline. I inquired as to Mr. King E. Gillian payment, and has the check been mailed out yet? Has it been lost, stolen, or destroyed? Has the trace been placed on it? The tax year is for 2020. Type of payment is recovery rebate credit. Do you still have my Social Security number, Anthony, on file, or do you need me to send it to you again? I don't think I have it. I needed the money to purchase art supplies, assorted pen colors, books, in an effort to create a space so that the Mexican Americans here can learn English, reflect, and bring community together. The way to heal, Anthony, is by connection. I speak and comprehend Spanish clearly, so I'm able to teach the men English. It gives me a sense of accomplishment when one of my students at the library picks up what I'm putting down. I need to heal as well and not be so angry all the time. The reality is there's too much pain in the world and too much grief. Too often. And I don't want to contribute to it, big guy. If we don't come together in solidarity and relieve all the pain and grief of hurt people, then people will continue to hurt people. I would like to continue a healing journey without funds to buy puzzle books, pens, and paper for my students. It's all just a dream. I want to turn victimizers, my students, into contributing members of society. I usually have my Hispanic students speak about their crimes so others can see all of the trauma we cause. Pretty smart idea, right, Anthony? I teach them accountability and responsibility, all the while teaching English. The future depends on what happens here. I hope my effort in their lives has the power to heal. It's not written in law. It's written in love. So he's bearing his soul. The guy's barely half alive for just being there in his wheelchair on the yard.
So I'm
going to have to contact all kinds of people, including the IRS. But
yeah.
This is the kind of thing that goes on constantly all across the country.
Yeah. Well, those were just, letter-rending letters. You can just see from what he writes how he's, you know, in many ways, you know, making his situation, you know, worse with some of the, when he acts out some of the things.
It's so provoked. It's like impossible to
hold back.
Oh, not
that it isn't,
you know?
Provoked. Oh, no, no. But, I don't know.
And just shot for no reason. They don't even apologize for it.
Yeah. It's horrible.
It's monstrous.
It is monstrous. Exactly. Yes.
So, like I say, I'm going to contact some activist friends I know in California and try to get a lawyer willing to take this case up, try to track down the money he's supposed to get. I'm not going to take his money. I'm going to make sure he keeps it. I'm going to,
I hope you can pull that off. I know you.
Yeah, I don't know.
You sometimes come up with some amazing,
Well, I know some really sharp people that do a lot of serious prisoner support work, ex-prisoners that have made, good lives for themselves and are part of support groups themselves and no lawyers and stuff like that. So I'm going to contact them and some writers and whoever, you know. It's kind of hard. I'm like 2,000 miles away. It's hard to do it from that far away.
But yeah, really. Sure, really. That makes it extra challenging. Well, Anthony, you have another about 4 minutes and I have to run for a sec. I'll be right back. But please entertain our listeners for about 4 minutes. I'll be right back.
Okay. Okay, here. I just did a new zine today by the brilliant Lorenzo Gamboa Irvin. And it's 28 pages. And the title is... Authoritarian leftists kill the cop in your head. So, you know, this is a subject that is important to delve into, and he's got the moxie and the insightfulness to do it. So he talks about, you know, authoritarian leftists when they should be cooperative leftists, and he breaks it all down in various ways. And brings up history and, you know, how communists and anarchists relate with each other and, you know, very intelligent, brilliant stuff. So I was happy to put this into a zine. Actually, I reformatted it from an earlier piece that I thought wasted a lot of paper and didn't have any graphics to it. So I sort of slimmed it down and hipped it up. And I'm going to make it available once again. It was first written in 1996. So that's almost 30 years ago. So that's just one of the kinds of things I do is make important tracks available to folks. And as well as work directly with prisoners, writers, artists, and just, you know, in this case, my nephew. So... Yeah, and I did that big conference in McCormick Place, which is the biggest, you know, convention center in the whole country. It was massive. And it was nice. I met a lot of really sharp people from all over the country, and they came to listen to our panel. We had an hour and a half panel. I had my partner Mike and my buddy Derek Potts, who's the archivist at DePaul, who works with my material. And there was a lady, the moderator, who she has a brother who's in prison. And there were three other women who run distros. They were, and also Jeremy Hammond, who is a political prisoner, a really good comrade of mine, brilliant guy. He was on there, and he works with the Midwest Books to Prisoners in Chicago, and he puts zines together to himself. So I put a publication together specific for this conference. It was 52 pages, and it had contributions from, I think, 6 prisoners. And it's a powerful scene, I think. It's 52 pages long. I got a nickname for it. I call it 52 Page Pickup. And I made 100 of those for the conference, and I was handing them out to all these librarians and these activists, you know. They were quite happy with it. And I sent it to the prisoners that their workers in the scene, and they were extremely, extremely happy that they were part of this project. And I got a nice thank you letter just a couple of days ago from one of them.
That's
super
great.
Appreciative that his voice was heard in this publication.
Yeah.
And read it at the conference.
It's
important for them to be.
It's a really good service that you provide for them. A way to get their thoughts out to the public.
Yeah. It's important that their voice be heard.
It is important. You know,
they're on the firing line. They're
absolutely.
They're in the gun sights of this.
You bet.
System.
Well, thank you, Anthony. I really appreciate having you as part of this show month after month, and always learn something. And the ones you
hopefully
all
tonight, better news next month.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean,
hopefully something good will happen.
It was heartbreaking, really. Thank you so much. All right.
All right. Have a good night. Thanks. Bye.
Wow. All right, listeners. Hard to follow that, but we're going to try. We're going to bring in Philip Perugio, who joins me every week in this second half hour of the show. Philip joins me from Port Orange, Florida, and he's a very prolific columnist, and I maintain a website for him called itsTheEmpireStupid.com. So we're going to be calling Philip right now. Here we go, Philip Perugio. All right. Talk to you on the other side of the station break.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
In the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Riff, I think. Thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the New American Dream Radio Show. I'm Chuck Gregory, broadcasting to you out of Fort Lauderdale on the Revolution Radio Network at revolution.radio. Don't forget, it's a listener-supported network. They do deserve your support. Our first guest of this second half of the show is Larry Pinkney. Larry is an original Black Panther, and he joins us in this third week of the month from Minneapolis. So we look forward to having Larry join our call momentarily. We are calling him in Minneapolis.
And, good evening, Larry Pinkney speaking.
Well, hello, Larry Pinkney. It's Chuck Gregory, and welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show.
Well, thank you very, very much on this Thursday. What is it, the 20th of July? Wow.
It is indeed, yeah.
Summer is flying past. Well, what I'd like to deal with tonight, this evening, is what I call the fake, fraudulent, right-left, left-right paradigm. It's fake, it's fraudulent, and that's how we, as we the people, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, yellow people, citizens of this country, of this republic, constitutional republic, by the way. People keep it, oh, democracy. No, the United States is a constitutional republic. people need to grow up, do a little bit of research, and find out what a constitutional republic is. Anyway, that's what we are. Now, I want to get back to that topic. They keep us by they. Who's they? They are the power brokers, okay? The power brokers, whether they're rhino Republicans, that's Republicans in name only, or whether they're quote-unquote Democrats, which is a big misnomer because the Democrats are anything but Democratic. But that's why I emphasize that this is a constitutional republic. Now, what both of those power brokers do is they ignore their base. They could care less about you or me or everyday ordinary. They could care less. It's just a joke, a sick joke. Who was it? Who's the comedian who said it's a big club and you ain't in it? You know?
I think that was George Carlin.
Yes, it was. And you know what? We ain't in it. And when we wake up and realize that, we realize that it's time to get rid of the clubhouse, both of the clubhouses. And this is what I am urging respectfully, but urgently and fervently the listeners to the New American Dream radio show this evening to think about. We need to stop going for the ghosts, and that, you know, and that includes, you know, the so-called mainstream. I call it the vomit stream, lame stream media. And I don't care if it's CNN, which I call the criminal news network, or even Fox News. I don't care. It's vomit stream. And you know, anybody who speaks real, who is honest, is considered subversive, and they're going to get rid of you. But that's okay. Yeah. They might get rid of you, but your podium becomes even larger because everyday ordinary people hear the truth when they hear it. And even if they don't have the meat on the bones, in other words, the details, they have enough common sense, they/we, to know that something's rotten in Denmark. And that's just an expression. I'm not talking about the Danes. But, you know, okay, that it's rotten to high heaven. And this is what I'm urging our listeners to think about. I'm watching with great interest how Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is being denigrated, attacked, degraded. It's like, wow, this is very interesting. Or as Mr. Spock of Star Trek would say, fascinating. Okay? Yeah. And it's something that should be a wake up call. And you know, I'm gonna be blunt. You know, I would love to see, I know this'll never happen, but I'd love to see a Kennedy Trump or Trump Kennedy ticket. But of course, we're too controlled for that. I'd love to see that because, you know, I have questions for them both. It doesn't mean that I believe that either one of them are anywhere near the perfection level. I know that I'm not, and I don't think anybody is, but I know what? I know that the scum that we have supposedly representing us do not give a damn about us. They don't care, as George Carlin. They don't care. We're not in that club. And, you know, so I guess that's my Sermon on the Mount for today. Let's get off the right, left, left, right paradigm. Let's get off it. Indeed. Let's do our own. So, go ahead, brother. What'd you say?
Indeed, I say, yes.
It's oh, you said indeed.
You are the second guest tonight to bring up the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, there must be something in the air or whatever.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Is Isn't that something? I mean, really. But
that's funny. Yeah, well, I believe in this constitutional republic. That does not mean I believe we're anywhere near perfection. But we are, after all, humans. And I don't think anybody in their right mind, and somebody say, did you say right mind? You mean left mind. Maybe I should just say somebody in their conscious mind would say that we humans are perfect. We're not. But as a constitutional republic, we certainly have made major strides and major mistakes. But, you know, we and this is what I hope our listeners will listen closely to. We are moving incrementally to fascism. I hear this term progressive. I'm a progressive. What does progressive mean anymore? Nada. Nothing. Zero. It means nothing. Okay? What are you, a PF? And I'm not talking about the PF Flyers. I guess I'm dating myself. Remember the tennis shoes, PF Flyers?
Right.
But I'm not talking about the PF Flyers. I'm talking about a progressive fascist. You can't be a progressive and a fascist at the same time. It's a contradiction in terms.
Really?
Okay. And so it's all about censorship and control. You know, I watched with interest how they grilled Robert F. Kennedy Jr. today, the House, you know, and they just, you're an anti-vaxxer. He made it really clear. Look, I am anti your lack of transparency. I am anti-censorship. What you do is your own personal decision, but you must be fully informed. Okay, and I went, damn, go ahead now.
Yeah.
You know, but of course, the criminal news network, CNN and CNSBC and ABC, you know, they're going to either omit outright or distort, you know, or just lie. I mean, that's what they do.
Right.
But I believe that the American people are waking up.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I believe we're waking up very quickly, which upsets the FBI, it upsets the CIA, it upsets the NSA, it upsets all these alphabet agencies that have for so long been overthrowing other countries, and now they're trying to overthrow our constitutional democracy. No way, Jose, that's not going to happen on our watch, on our watch. So, there I am. That's, I guess, all I have to say, unless, brother, you have to grill me or something.
Well, I think you gave us some really interesting things to think about. I am going to have to read more about this RFK situation. I had heard it briefly, but pretty much on the level of, you know, having seen a headline or two go by. So I'm going to have to read up on that and see what's going on. So thanks for bringing that to my attention. And, very powerful segment as always. And I really appreciate you being a continued part of the New American Dream Radio Show.
Well, thank you, my brother. You know I love you. You maintain, watch your back, carry on. I'm saying that to you with love and respect, but I'm also saying it to the rest of the entire audience of the New American Dream Radio Show. Watch your back, carry on. Do not give up. This is very important, not only for this constitutional republic, but ultimately for the world, for the globe, for humanity. So I'm going to leave it at that. Love you, my brother. Take care. Thank you so much. It's always an honor. And I'm serious. I don't just say this.
All right.
It's always an honor and a pleasure and a privilege to be a part of the New American Dream Radio Show. Thank you, Brother Chuck.
Well, right on, Larry. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Wow. What a great talk with Larry Pinkney. So glad to have him as part of the show. And my next guest is actually pre-recorded. It's Frank Cordero from the Des Moines Catholic Worker. I spoke with him a couple of hours ago, and here's how it went.
I'll be back. Hello, Chuck.
Well, hello, Frank. How are you?
Well,
is this a better time?
Yeah, the baby crisis is over for the moment, and I'm back at the Dingman House, so thanking folks who let Taylor come with me to the hospital, who could translate. And I'm gonna be asking these guys to. Oh, they're already. I'm out here on the front porch, and they're moving. They're just great guests. And then I'm going up into the stairway where there's some kind of peace and quiet in that room that in the front of the Dingman House that has all the posters and banners from our 25th anniversary.
So
all these things are like almost 25 years old.
Yeah. Wow.
That's the earliest thing on the thing. And it goes all the way back to the beginning. So I'm climbing the stairway to be right underneath the exhibit that Richard Cleaver made of the massacres that he uncovered in Chiapas, in Guatemala. Yeah, great stuff. All right, so placing in all that, some strange things. I don't know if I reported this last week, but we got a letter from the bishop detailing a new concern about our unworthiness to have Catholic Mass celebrated at our house.
Mm.
We had that meeting, and they laid down the whole idea that, you know, we'll lift the ban of our priests, come back if the community agrees not to let any women pretend to be celebrating a Catholic Mass. And we've gone through this, and, you know, and I'm going, we have to work on that. Are we going to do that or not?
Yeah.
And then the bishop sends us this letter, and I've been sitting on it since July 7th, waiting to open it because I'm just thinking it's rehashing that whole discussion. And, you know, quite frankly, we're pretty ambiguous about it, don't know whether we want to do it or not. And things change on the ground, as we soon will find out, because the when Father Dave Polish came over with a citation that he is on the trust, so he got a citation about something going on, showed it to me, and I was sitting down talking to him, and I says, I got this letter from the bishop. I imagine it's just a rehash of what we talked about. And he said, no, sonny, did you read it? I said, no.
Uh-oh.
So when I opened it up, no, it isn't a rehashment. The bishop said, we've done two things that have already disqualified us to be a worthy place to have Catholic Mass celebrated. And the first thing is that we marched in the Pride Parade with the Sisters of Perpetua, I can't even remember the name of the crowd. It's a drag, a gay group that on Pride Parade dress up like nuns and then make them the kind of, you know, the lampoon for their hilarious and having fun at their expense. That's that's called drag. And they're also a service club. And they're a human rights club because they're gay people who are saying, hey, being gay is about having a lot of fun, and don't take yourself serious. And we're just poking fun at the nuns. And so that's their rap. They've been doing it for 20 years. We've had them in our house were cooking for us every once in a while, because Julie Brown's father and her other father are members of this group, and we've marched with them for a number of years. There's no reason not to. The bishop saw that and said that was an outrageous thing to do, because this group is a sacrilege or something. I'll get to the quote. I'm away from it. But it was just really like, and every nun is disgraced because of what they do. And I'm going like, wait a minute, you know, how does they know they're speaking for all the nuns to say that that's an embarrassment for any nun that celebrated?
Right.
And
yeah.
It's not true at all. A recent article in the National Catholic Reporter, because of this recent flare up with the, what is it, Detroit something, or one of the ball teams we're going to back out of supporting a drag group, drag queens. And it was a big hoopla. And so the riches, the NPR did a poll of nuns, and they said, you know, nationally, two out of three nuns don't care. Doesn't matter, you know. But the judgment, and then the second thing we did, which was definitely another no-no, is that we have a woman who's been volunteering, and she happens to be a Catholic woman priest, Reverend Amy, good woman. Yeah?
Uh-huh.
She's volunteering to say, I want to do work with the Catholic worker at my service.
Uh-huh.
So we accept her on her terms and what she says she is. The bishop said, because we... she was mentioned as a Roman Catholic priest in the Bergen Beg letter. That means that we have legitimized her priesthood, and therefore the Des Moines Catholic worker could never have the Eucharist celebrated, Catholic Eucharist celebrated there. It's like, what world are these guys living in? It's so much of a bummer. So I'm thinking creatively and always out of the box. So what might we do? And I'm... one of the things I'm thinking about is getting a hold of the nuns I know who would like to meet some of the sisters and the some of the Catholic women priests, get them all together, and let's talk about what the bishop says about their groups and how true it is or how false it is and from the real people.
That's a pretty good plan, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I'm sure they never can ask anybody who's a sister. I'm sure they never asked any of the religious sisters, nuns, that they're speaking for. And I'm sure they never talked to any of the ordained women. So much for dialogue for people, you know, getting to know people before you condemn them. I'm telling you, I'm kind of worked up. Very happy. What can I say?
Okay.
You'll hear more about this. This ain't the last of this story, baby.
Okay. Well, I will hear more about it. Okay, then.
Yes.
Thank you, Greg. Girl.
Thank you. Thanks, Chuck. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. It's always fun to visit with Frank Cordero from the Des Moines Catholic Worker. So, we're going to have one more guest tonight. It's M.K. Davis. M.K. joins me in this third week of every month from Mississippi. M.K. is an explorer specializing in Bigfoot and related topics, and a video guy as well. Anyway, here we go. M.K. Davis, I'm going to be bringing him into the show right about now. Getting to him a little bit earlier than planned, but... hello, M.K.
Hey, Chuck.
sorry to be a little early, but things just went a little fast tonight. I hope... you're ready for us on the New American Dream.
Well, I am, sort of.
Okay.
My wife broke her foot last weekend.
Oh, no.
And I've been kind of taking care of her side of everything, you know. It's been it makes you appreciate just how much that your spouse does for you.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to talk a little bit about the diversity amongst Bigfoot sightings across North America.
Okay.
That people report a Bigfoot. When they get down to the actual description, sometimes they vary quite a bit. I was looking at. That I have up on my wall, it was given to me by a friend, the Bigfoot Sketch Project by Pete Travers, who is an artist, and you can find this at www.thepaintedcave.com, and Pete sat down and took eyewitness accounts and drew out the as best he could the general the way that Bigfoot looked to that eyewitness, and it's amazing how much diversity there is across the country to the point where the actual nomenclature changes. We call the Pacific Northwest a Bigfoot, which was coined, I believe, in 1958. But if you go down to your neck of the woods, Florida, it's called a skunk ape. And people say, well, isn't that a Bigfoot? Well, maybe not. Maybe if it is, at least there's enough variation there that makes people think more of an ape than it does, some kind of a primitive person. There's a famous Bigfoot. There was two photographs taken by a lady in her backyard at night on consecutive nights. This thing kept going across to her porch and stealing apples that she had on the back porch. And she got two pictures of it. And she's, her husband told her that he thought it was an orangutan, and she wrote a letter to the sheriff's department wanting to know if anyone had lost an orangutan. Okay, well, that sounds good. If you look at the pictures, it kind of does look like an orangutan. Even the foot looks different. It looks more like a hand than it does a foot. You can't see the whole thing because it's down in the brush down there. But what she said about it kind of caught my attention was that it was four times bigger than a full-grown deer. And, well, that's not an orangutan. There's no orangutan gets that big. And also, you know, it came out at night, which orangutans do not. Orangutans are strictly diurnal. They when it gets dark, they go climb a tree, and they sit there until daylight. And this thing was out wandering around, had some really big eye teeth. Some kind of a primate that, well, they've argued about that thing for years and years. I think the picture was taken in, 2004, something like that. And they've argued about, you know, whether it was real or not. Some people said it was a stuffed, there was one just like it at the Ripley's, believe it or not, in somewhere in the Carolinas. But when you look at them, they're really not the same. it's people always are looking for a way to explain it away, rather than to explain it. Florida is, I don't have to tell you this, but if you, to your listeners, if you go down there, you can't see 10 feet away in places. amongst right. all those palmettos and everything down there, you go into that Myakka River drainage there, where this picture was taken there, and anything could be living in there. And the climate is right also. And other people who've said they've seen the skunk ape said it was 7 feet tall, you know, described as when it stood up.
Uh-huh.
Now, just south of Memphis, Tennessee, there's a town called Tunica, Mississippi. And nine miles east of Tunica, along the Mississippi River, a gentleman was hog hunting, and he walked upon what he did. He was unsure. He called it a skunk ape. He took video of it with his phone, and it was pretty decent video. It wasn't bad. But it was had its back turned to him, and it was tearing open a cypress tree. And, you know, cypress trees, they die on the inside. They're still alive on the outside. A lot of times, they'll form this thinner version of the tree on the outside and continue to grow. And you can't just rip that stuff off. After I saw that video, I went and found me a similar tree and tried to do it, and I couldn't even come close. Thing was popping planks off that thing and tossing them into the water, going after bugs or bees perhaps. I don't know which. And it was exhibiting tremendous strength. That's kind of what we think is necessary for a video or a film to amount to proof of the existence of something, is if it were doing something that a person could not do. And this thing was definitely doing that. And all of a sudden it stands upright, just stands up. And it scared the guy so bad that he tore off running, and that was the end of the video. But that thing was quite a bit different looking than the skunk ape of the Myakka River photos. I don't know how to describe it since I'm looking at its back, but it was uniform in color. It's when it did stand up, it was tall. It was very strong, had very strong upper body strength. Way stronger than a normal human being could do in ripping out a plank of that wood. That plank probably was as tall as a door in your house, and he just tossed it off into the water. And he was after those bugs and grubs. And so that's a whole nother look for Bigfoot in a different part of the country. Now, if you move over to Honey Island, that's in South Louisiana along the Pearl River. They report a creature down there that, the Harlan Ford was an air traffic controller there in New Orleans, and he loved to hunt, and he had a camp there in Honey Island, and he had a friend with him, And they had carried a whole bunch of, they had carried a motor out to work on it, and were bringing it back, a boat motor, a small boat motor. And you had to cross this canal in a like a John boat. And then you had to walk across a big section of woods to the West Pearl River. The Pearl River split into east and west and had an island in the middle they call Honey Island. And they walked upon this thing, and they said it was facing away from them on all fours. And they thought at first it was a large hog until it turned around and stood up and faced them. And they said it had really large amber eyes, and it had like a stringy mane of hair. It was sort of, it had kind of a cat-like look to it, like a giant cat, like a, maybe if a lion stood on its hind legs. And it ran off. They lost sight of it, and they went over to where it was, and they saw where it had been in a tree and had come down the tree. So it climbed trees. That is quite a bit different description than either one of the previous. And they're in a different place. And that Pearl River comes all the way up to within about 35 miles of me. So I'm kind of on its northern end, and my friends down there in southern Louisiana are on down there near the Gulf Coast, where it empties into the Gulf. That's where it slows down, spreads out, and it's rich in history. I think that a lot of pirates hid out in Honey Island. Civil War soldiers hid out in there. You know, it's apparently the Honey Island monster, what they call a monster, hid out in there as well. You move a little further over, I think in New Mexico, out that way, they have the Mogollon Rim. They have what they call the Mogollon Monster. There's different temperaments as well. In some places, they're not much danger.
Mm-hmm.
They just walk away, you know. In other places, they're you might get in trouble. You know, they're a little more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
That on the Mogollon Rim tended to be a little more aggressive. And there again, the name Bigfoot is kind of a catch-all phrase that kind of keeps you. If you apply it, it gets applied. Almost anything with a foot leaves a track. I read a book called, I believe it was Paranormal Joshua Tree. And this was way down south California, southern, almost to Mexico. There's a national park down there called Joshua Tree. It's famous for its many rock formations and wilderness areas and trails. You hike a trail down there, and it may take you a couple of weeks to come out the other end of it.
Wow.
The Spanish were down in there mining for gold. There's a lot of old Spanish gold mines. And it's just kind of a place that's full of mystery. And the book was written by a ranger that worked there for many years. And he talked about this Bigfoot like creature with blonde hair that people would see, that if you left your ice chest out, you know, bears love ice chests, but he said this was not a bear. It was similar to Bigfoot, but much shorter. In other words, it wasn't the big, tall seven and a half feet. It was more like, you know, 4.5 to 5 feet. And it would come and get your stuff out of there. People would hear a noise and look outside and see this thing in their ice chest. Scare the living daylights out of them. And so people that there has been people come up missing in Joshua Tree, which they have no idea what happened to them, but it's pretty rough country. When I was there, we came across a rescue, outfit that were organizing to try to go and get this lady who had fallen over a cliff. And she had, she was stuck down on the rocks below, and she had her phone with her, and she called for help. And because she was able to do that, you know, they knew where she was, and they were going to go get her. But that's just how, that's life down there. I mean, it's subject to happen. It's just a lot of stuff down there. But it's so hot in the summertime, everything is, the Bigfoot sightings were all like late at night, you know, when it cooled off, which is, it's a very dry climate. So it's, it cools off quite a bit. Then there's the Mojave Desert Bigfoot, which is, you know, people used to didn't even talk about desert Bigfoot because they thought that all Bigfoot came from the Pacific Northwest, you know. But once the internet came into being and people were able to log in the reports anonymously, they began to realize that it came in much more commonly across the country than they had ever thought. And so here they were reporting the same phenomenon out there in the Mojave Desert and on up into Death Valley area. With the Death Valley, which Don Monroe and myself went there in the wintertime, and they had this salt marsh, a little creek that ran through it called Salt Creek. And it's like a nature preserve or whatever. And in the wintertime, all the animals that move out during the summer were back. And we found these huge tracks. They were long and thin. I call them thin. They were thinner than my track would be, the proportion wise. And the next time we went there, which was the following year, we had a friend with us, Ken Iddens, and Ken was taking my picture. And we were out there in the basin, and he didn't see it, but later on, we saw a figure in the distance that was brown, and it was just standing there watching us. It was standing back toward Salt Creek. Who knows what or where you might find a Bigfoot or a what they call a Bigfoot or a skunk ape or maybe even a Salt Creek ape. Then you go on up into other areas, Garbage Wilderness in northern Nevada, and they describe there is a huge towering version of it that goes above 10 feet. And they see them when they see them. I mean, they're aggressive usually. And not just the Garbage Wilderness, but also there's got the Ruby Mountains. Also, just south of there, it's another set of mountains. And it's the same thing described as the big tall ones. And you can move, you can just keep on going. You can go on up into the Eighth Canyon area of Washington State, and they describe them as a giant ape. They had ape-like features and ape-like behavior. You know, that type of thing. And then as you move down into Northern California, they look more human-like. People that have opportunities to put a rifle scope on them saying, well, I just couldn't shoot them because it looked like a human being, you know, in the face. And then you can move across going into Canada. Canada has lots of Sasquatch reports. I think there's a river up there in the Yukon territory. It starts with an N. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But it has people went up in there and went missing, and they sent a search party in there, and they found them with their heads ripped off. Is that aggressive? I suppose if it is, if that's what did it. But you know how hard it is to pull a body part off of something. You know, even a rabbit, you can't hardly tear it apart with your hand. You know, it's something of tremendous strength to do that. And then you kind of move on up into the abominable snowman, where in the snow fields of the Himalayas. It's something that walks about in those harsh environments or moves back and forth between the valleys across those snow fields. A kind of a different looking track, a little different looking. It's aggressive as well. There was a young lady that was tending her yaks. I think they had yaks. And one of the abominable snowmen came up to her, and she ended up waking up laying face up in the stream, and all of her yaks were dead. It killed them all, you know. But it didn't kill her. She was knocked out, or passed out. And of course, it was a little bit different description there of that one too. And then you can move along the East Coast, where the Vikings encountered them when they came. You know, they used to deny that the Vikings ever came here, you know, pre-Columbian. But now they recognize that, so you can read their stories that they wrote, and they said they encountered something with dark eyes called a Skraeling. And they were afraid of them. They were so afraid that they didn't want to move inland. They were kind of afraid to move in off the coast because of them. Later on, they found out that they did indeed move in off the coast and made their way into to author the Kensington Stone there in Minnesota. And later on they found another stone that had Viking runes on it in Pateau, Oklahoma. That's moving inland, don't you think?
Yeah, really. Far inland.
You got the Vikings. Yeah. The Vikings were brave people. I mean, they weren't intimidated by much. So for them to say that they were scared of the Skraelings, just the Skraeling itself is kind of intimidating. You know, it sounds It sounds scary. But then you go back down the East Coast, and you start to talk. They start talking about in the Carolinas that there was more of a reptile look. It's something that was on two legs that lived in the swamp. As a matter of fact, a famous encounter was with a young man named Christmas, who was fixing a flat tire. This thing walked up on him.
What?
It came out of the swamp, and it was some type of reptile-like creature. It had green skin that was scaly. It was pretty rough description there. And then, next thing you know, you're back into Georgia, and you're in the Okefenokee Swamp.
Right, sure, yeah.
The Okefenokee Swamp, they had an incident in the Okefenokee where this Bigfoot-like creature killed several people, and they formed a hunting party and went after it, and allegedly shot it and killed it.
Really?
Yeah, and it was supposed to have been really huge and also very, very aggressive, territorial,
When was that, MK?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up and get the date proper. It was in the early years of the country.
Okay. Interesting.
It's quite a story. You hear stories about sometimes you lose the source. You can't find it where you heard it.
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, happens to me way too often. You think you're so organized, storing all the information, and you just miss one thing and go back a month or two later. Huh? Where the heck did I find that? Yeah.
Well, they had a report of they had a big flood on the Arkansas River.
Yeah.
Which Arkansas River is a very long river. It goes all through Arkansas and Oklahoma and on up. And the water was way out of the banks, and it had flooded some homes, and they had a home that was right on the edge of the flood water that wasn't flooded. A lot of the neighbors had come over to that home, so they had several households there in that house, and this was before air conditioning or anything like that, and so they had the windows up, and they said that a Bigfoot, for lack of a better word, a monster, a creature, stepped through that window and into the room with them people.
Whoa!
And they said it stood up, and it looked around at them, and they looked at it, and they said its teeth were green. And they stared at each other. I guess it didn't want to leave, but it left. It went back out the same window it came in, and it was gone. I thought that had to end.
Wow.
So their green teeth is the unusual description there, besides the fact that it was in their house. So the Arkansas River comes right down, once again, goes into the Mississippi, not too far north of me, on the other side. Maybe it was the same thing that Josh Highcliffe saw. When he took video, while he was hog hunting. We didn't get a chance to see its teeth to see if it was green, but I'm sure he would be just as okay with that too. Who wants to see that? But you see across the the breadth, length and breadth of the United States and even other countries. The Ural Mountains is full of reports, and even Siberia is full of reports. And they all, each place describes them differently.
Really?
They described the Chapman incident, the Ruby Creek incident that occurred in the Pacific Northwest. The lady had her grandkids out playing in the yard, and they ran inside and told her that a big cow was coming down out of the woods. And she went out there, and she saw immediately it was not a cow. It was a Bigfoot, or what they called a Bigfoot back then. And evidently, it must have been on all fours to be taken for a cow. And that thing was so big that they said its footprints were just tremendous. And she went through the house, took the kids, went through the house, went in the backyard, went down the hill, got in a boat, and took off down the river.
Wow.
And when her husband came in, he couldn't find his family, but he found where that thing had gone. They had gone and busted both of his salmon barrels and had eaten salmon right there on the spot. So they rendezvoused later. He didn't know what had happened to him. He was afraid that they had been killed, but he found them and they found him later on. And as it turned out, they all died these unfortunate deaths. The family didn't last any time after that.
Really?
Wow. Take the kids drowned. The lady died of something. The man died of something. But their run of bad luck started with seeing that thing. That's sort of the point of tonight's discussion is that they're not necessarily rubber stamped.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, they could be your area might be a little different from my area.
Right. Yeah. Well, MK, thank you. Very interesting segment. You gave us a lot to think about and chase down in our various searches, and I really appreciate that. Thank you. For being a regular guest on this show.
Sure thing. Thank you.
Listeners, thank you for being here. I hope you'll be back next week and every week right here on the New American Dream Radio Show on Revolution.radio. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com. the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course.